believe in Jesus Christ. When a prison guard asked the apostles Paul and Silas what he must do to be saved, they replied in Acts chapter 16 verse 31 saying, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Believing in Jesus Christ means to believe he is who he said he is, and everything that he accomplished for our salvation is true.
Excellent. Excellent. We're a minute and 58 in to a 4 minute and 20 second clip. That is excellent. I have to say it again. Wonderful statement. Everything that he said and claimed to do, believe that it is true. And that's what faith is. We're putting our faith in the claims that he made, okay? Hey, welcome back to Bible Line, everybody. I'm your host, Pastor Jesse Martinez. And today we're doing another Pastor Reacts. We're going to be responding to a video that proposes 5 steps to make sure that you're saved. It's by a guy, his name is Greg Sarita, and he's with Bible Flock Box. Trent actually found this video, our editor, Trent, and he sent it to me, and it is a classic step-by-step salvation. I just want to say, because this just came to my mind, when we share the gospel, if you're familiar with our church services, which you can find here on the Bible Line channel, I give 7 points for the gospel. But there's only one thing that brings about salvation. It's when a person puts their trust in Jesus Christ's death, burial, and resurrection for the payment of their sin. But you kind of need to talk through some things. You need to make them understand. You need to bring them to the point where they understand, yeah, I do have sin that separates me from God, and this is the punishment that is waiting for me. But what happens with a lot of videos like what we're going to watch today, it is very formulaic, and the end result is just not anything close to what was taught throughout the video. It always ends in a prayer. It always talks about admitting, repenting, turning. And it's difficult for me when I watch these because it's like if they were to just pull themselves out of the formula and look at it, they'd say this doesn't add up. This doesn't add up. The Bible verses I'm using are not in proper context. And even the end result, it has nothing to do with what I just said. But they don't see that. And I think it's because, you know, these videos, they get a lot of views. People are looking. They do want to know, am I saved? You'll see this as soon as you start the video. This is a heartbreaking statement that he makes about people that write to him. But instead of giving them a real simple, a real clear answer of this is what you must do to be saved, he just kind of goes through a bunch of steps. And even the end result, you'll see, has nothing to do with the steps that he set up. So again, I'm not attacking this man. I don't know him. I pray that he comes to a change of mind and simply puts his trust in Jesus Christ. And he's got a great platform. So I hope that through this changed mind and you know, understanding the clear gospel, I pray that he would use his platform for good. But sadly, the devil uses men like this to keep people lost. So let's take a look.
Sometimes people write me and tell me they believe in Jesus. They've been convicted that he is the Lord and Savior of the world, but they're not exactly sure what steps they need to take in order to be saved.
All right, so we're going to pause there for a moment, and I want you to grab your Bibles and go over to the book of John in chapter 4. And he made a statement here in his opening remarks. He said, there are people that write to him who say, I have believed on Jesus Christ, and I believe that he is the Savior of the world. But I don't know if I'm saved. To me, somebody who's finely tuned to people's responses and what they say and knowing what the Bible teaches, I don't understand how that's possible. How can a person believe on Jesus Christ? I'm assuming they believe on his death, burial, and resurrection for the payment of their sin and believe that he's the Savior of the world, yet not know that they're saved, still trying to find out if they're saved. Something doesn't add up there. So again, I think there's just words that are being used, but there's no meaning to what those words actually mean. John chapter 4 in verse 40, Jesus is talking, he had just led the woman at the well to Christ. She goes in and directs these men in the city to what she had just heard. And then this is a record that is said of those men, starting in verse 40. So when the Samaritans were coming to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. and many more believed because of his own word. I want you to note that there. It says many more believed because of the testimony of Jesus Christ. He stayed for 2 days, was talking to him, and people were believing on him. And we know that from the next verse. And said unto the woman, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. That's such a clear statement. I love it. I love John chapter 4. I love all of Scripture, but especially places like this where it's just so clear. And sadly, when you have videos like what we're reacting to today that are not clear, they're very finely polished. They're great editing. He doesn't trip over his words, but he doesn't teach it as simply as what the Bible says here. These people believed, and that was enough. And I just don't understand how there's people who can write into this guy that we're reacting to, and they do believe. They know he's the Savior of the world, but they still don't know that they're saved. How does that happen? Because people are being deceived. They're being told believing is not enough. So let's pick it back up here.
In this video, I'm going to explain that as I present to you 5 steps to salvation. Step number 1, admit you're a sinner. The definition of sin is breaking God's law of 10 commandments. 1 John chapter 3 verse 4 says, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law."
I like that he brings up this verse, which I think this is great. I don't make it a step like you have to admit that you're a sinner. I think people know that they do wrong, okay? They know that they make mistakes. What they need to understand is because you're a sinner, there is a penalty for that sin, and that is a separation from God. He uses 1 John 3, 4, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law." That's the problem. Sin is breaking what God says is holy and right. That's where the problem is, because there's going to be a penalty for that. For sin is the transgression of the law. It's not that you need to admit that you're a sinner. You need to acknowledge that there is a consequence for your sin. We all know that we're sinners. And I'm sure there's billions of people on this planet. I'm sure we'll run into several who don't think that they are sinners, but you can very easily have a discussion with them. And if they're honest, they'll come to the conclusion, yeah, I am a sinner. Even if I don't commit a bunch of sin, there's a bunch of things that I should do and I don't do it. So that's the sin of omission, and James talks about that. But he's right here, but I'm not going to say, do you admit that you're a sinner? Because it's not about admitting that you're a sinner. We know that we're sinners, but that the wages of sin is death, and he's going to get to that here. Let's let him do it.
We all have sinned. That is, everybody who has ever lived except Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 confirms this, saying, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." You may be saying to yourself, "Wait, I don't want to die." Hold on, let me finish. You don't have to die. As a matter of fact, God doesn't want you to die, and he loves you so much that he sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for our sins. John chapter 3, verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life."
Amen.
And if you believe in Jesus, according to this verse, you will be saved from the death penalty for sinning. Step number 2.
That's awesome. As a matter of fact, when Trent and I were watching the original video and we're making our cuts, I said to him, and he picked it up too, "This is great. This is it right here. If the video ends with this second step," I'm not going to quibble about steps and all of that, but if it just ends there, that verse, John 3:16, he accurately describes what the promise is. You believe, you receive eternal life. It's that simple. Your sin separates you from God. God has sent his Son to pay for your sin. And now that sin payment that was over you, it's over. You're done now. You've believed on Jesus Christ. It's applied to your account. You're finished. Let's hear the rest of what he has to say here.
Believe in Jesus Christ. When a prison guard asked the apostles Paul and Silas what he must do to be saved, they replied in Acts chapter 16, verse 31, saying, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Believing in Jesus Christ means to believe he is who he said he is, and everything that he accomplished for our salvation is true. Step number.
Excellent. excellent. We're a minute and 58 in to a 4 minute and 20 second clip. That is excellent. I have to say it again. Wonderful statement. Everything that he said and claimed to do, believe that it is true. And that's what faith is. We were putting our faith in the claims that he made, okay? But then we go into this third, fourth, and fifth point that is why people write into him, because they've believed this. And folks, the fact is, if they have believed, if someone was watching this video and they believed here, God honors that belief in his son and gives them eternal life. But now, if these next 3 points, I think there's three more left here, they are now going to be ineffective because they've believed, but now they're going to be focusing on their works. And you'll see what I mean here with step number three. Don't forget, if you have not subscribed to Bibleline yet, make sure that you do. Hit that red subscribe button and the notification bell. Set it to all so that you get a notification anytime we post anything, go live. Make sure that you're aware of that. And then like, comment, and share this video to get us into the algorithm to lead more people to clarity in the gospel. And if you have a video like this that you'd like us to react to, or you have a question about a Bible verse, send it to us in an email. questions@BibleLineMinistries.org. Let's get back to today's reaction.
Number three, repent from your sins.
No.
Acts chapter 3, verse 19 tells us, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord."
Okay, so obviously he is going to define repent here as what he thinks it is, but let's go and take a look at the actual chapter that he uses as a proof text for repent ye therefore. He is in Acts chapter 3 in verse number 19. If we were to back it up to verse 15, we can see that Peter he's speaking here. A man has just been healed, and the people are marveling at it. And he's going to tell them, "I'm doing this in the power of Jesus Christ, the one that you killed on the cross. Okay, you need to change your mind." That's what the word repent is here. It's metanoia, which is it's a different version of metanoia, but as it's used in the text here, it's the same thing. Change your mind from thinking that he was a blasphemer of God, that he is the Holy One, the Just One. You believe on him, and you will have your sins blotted out. Okay, nothing about water baptism, nothing about turning from your sin. They needed to change their mind specifically about who Jesus was. It's the same thing that's in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. But we start in Acts chapter 3 and verse 15, "And killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses, and his name through faith in his name hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers, but those things which God before had showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore." What is the therefore? Because he's bringing them to the point of, this is what you thought, like your fathers did. You need to change your mind and believe on Jesus Christ. When you do that, your sins will be blotted out. And the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And the kingdom's on the way. And he shall send Jesus, which before was preached unto you. The focus is Jesus. Now let's see how he defines repentance in the video. Because he's saying it's different from believe. And I contend that believing on Jesus Christ, repentance is involved. It is a turning away from yourself being able to save. It's a change of mind from what you thought would get you to heaven, and it is now trust in Jesus Christ alone. But he separates them. Why? Because repentance is a work in his mind, and you'll see that.
Repentance basically means to turn from your life of sin to God. Jesus even preached repentance.
Okay. I know I cut him off right in the middle of that statement, but you can see how that's not the biblical use of the word repent. It is not turning from a life of sin. And he's going to use Mark chapter 2 and verse 17 to make his point. Let's see what it says.
Repentance during his earthly ministry. Mark chapter 2 verse 17 says, "When Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance.
Okay, so let's take a look. This is right after Jesus calls Levi. We're in Mark chapter 2 in verses 13 and 14. He calls Levi the son of Alphaeus. He says, follow me. Then he says this in verse 15. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many, and they followed him. And when the scribes and Pharisees, the religious rulers, saw him eat with publicans and sinners, they said unto his disciples, which I think is just so, they never really addressed him yet, you know, they tried to attack his followers. How is it that he eateth and drinketh with publicans and sinners? I mean, this is the definition of gossip and sowing seeds of discord. But anyway, when Jesus heard it, which is, I also like that, Jesus is like, what? You talking to them? You need to talk to me. But anyway, he says, when Jesus heard it, he saith unto them, they that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. These people are whole, obviously, because they believed some things about him. And the Pharisees were coming in, and they are being the ones that are described as being the sick ones. And he says, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And I think the righteousness he's talking about here is the self-righteousness of the Pharisees, sinners to repentance, a change of mind. This is how the kingdom is going to come. He's not talking about, I don't think this is talking necessarily about salvation. It could be applied to that, but in no way is he telling these sinners to change their behavior. He's asking them to change their mind about something specific, and the text doesn't necessarily show it yet. But to say that these publicans and sinners, that's what they were, it was evident enough by the Pharisees that these were sinners, still sinners. If they had turned from their life of sin, as this man says, the publicans and sinners would have been like, oh, look, some righteous people just hanging out with Jesus and his disciples. But obviously, they were still sinners and you know, publicans and sinners in their eyes. So had they not turned enough? It doesn't make sense. And it doesn't make sense because that's not how the word functions. So now we've added works to the gospel, and this is why this video ultimately just becomes a tragedy, in my opinion.
Step number 4, confess your sins to God. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Okay, so 1 John 1, 9 is not talking about forensic justification, forensic cleansing, like the initial justification that happens when you put your trust in Jesus Christ, the final one right there. It's talking about the progressive sanctification. 1 John is about fellowship. You think you have fellowship. God is light. In him is no darkness at all. You say that you have fellowship with God, but you walk in darkness. You lie. The truth is not in you. You say you don't have any sin. You deceive yourselves. And what he's saying right here is you need to, the sin that you do have, confess it. You have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He goes on into chapter 2 and verse 1 to say that. This is how you go through progressive sanctification. This is not for salvation, but he uses it as such. And we'll link down to our 1 John series because we just started that. And you can check out that video where I expound upon that in great detail.
The Bible promises that if we confess our sins to God, he will forgive us. Step number 5, acknowledge Jesus as your Lord. Woo. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through.
This one to me is the one that's just so out of left field. And I think he's adding it because this is a part of the sinner's prayer. You do not have to confess that Jesus is Lord to be saved. He already is Lord, folks. You need to agree with that. You need to come to terms with that. But it's not his lordship that saves you. It's the payment that he made on the cross that saves you. There are people in Matthew 7 who say the very Lord, Lord. I mean, that is a verbal confession. You are my Lord. You are my Lord. And Jesus says, I never knew you. How so? They didn't do the will of the Father. What's the will of the Father? John 6, 39 through 40. Believe. That's the will of the Father. You can be so deceived that you confess Jesus is your Lord, but you've never believed on him for the payment of your sin. So which one is more important, your acknowledgement of his lordship or his payment for your sin? It's his payment for your sin. That's what separates you from God. Get it together. Believe on him. And then you come to the agreement of his lordship. And he's going to use Romans chapter 10 here, which is to the Jewish person who recites the law, which teaches about Jesus, but they're missing the point. And you'll see here in one of the verses that he uses, it just obliterates the argument right from the get-go.
9 through 11 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
For with the heart
man believeth unto righteousness.
How does righteousness come about? With what you believe. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With the mouth, your confession, you are confessing what you have already believed. What does God honor? What you believe. How does man know what you've believed? By what you say. This is the test in 1 John chapter 4. Every spirit that says that Jesus has not come in the flesh, which is this Gnostic doctrine, they're not people who are saved because they don't believe on Jesus Christ. What you say is how people know what you believe. For the scripture saith, and I'm reading over him here, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. The Jewish person is they're a part of God's chosen people, but they're going to miss eternal life because they reject Jesus. So the more that a Jewish person, when they have the belief, when they believe on Jesus, the more that they talk about it, the more effective it's going to be for other Jewish people. And we see this in the tribulation period, the 144,000. They're going to be speaking about their faith in Jesus Christ. It's going to cause great persecution. They're going to die. It's going to be a bloody thing. But that's the focus here. This is not confessing that he is Lord. What is the point of confessing Jesus is Lord, but yet still having the payment for your sin unpaid? I've said that several times throughout this video, but I want you to know that's the focus.
Righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. The word Lord means master, or someone who has authority over your life. So when you acknowledge Jesus as your Lord, you are accepting his authority. You are making a commitment to trust and obey him and to follow his example.
That's all discipleship. That's not what saves you. That's all what we should do after we're saved. We should live a disciplined life, soberly in righteousness in this wicked world. But that's not how you get saved. Judas did those things. He submitted to Jesus Christ. He carried the money, but in his heart, he didn't believe. That's the difference. And I'm passionate about this because this appeals to man's pride. Well, I'm going to stop all my sin and I'm going to fully sell out for Jesus, but you never believe on him. You see how subtle that is? You are essentially saying, I am so powerful. My turning from my sin is so powerful that I can save myself. Jesus is my example. I'm going to do it just like he did. That not of works, lest any man should boast, Ephesians 2:9. There will not be anybody who can stand and say, I did it just like Jesus did. This is a dangerous, dangerous doctrine.
This, along with repenting from your sins and confessing them to God, should be done in prayer.
So here's the prayer. You paying attention here?
As a matter of fact, if you feel God calling you right now to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, please join me as I pray.
So notice, he said five things before we get to this prayer. He said five things. You have to admit that you're a sinner. You have to believe on Jesus. You have to repent from your sin. You have to confess your sin. And then you have to make him Lord. Those are the five things that will bring about eternal life. There is not one thing in this prayer that talks about believing. Look at what it says.
Father, forgive me. Accept my confession that I'm a sinner worthy of death. I give my life to you. Thank you for Jesus' death and life to save me. Help me to do your will. Amen.
Okay, Father, forgive me. I don't want to break this down entirely, but it needs to be done. Father, forgive me. Of what? How do we receive forgiveness? It's like I think to people when they're like, Lord, forgive me. It's like, okay, he's told you how you get forgiveness. Believe on Jesus Christ. Yes, yes, but forgive me. I don't understand. That doesn't make any sense to me. And then he says, accept my confession that I'm a sinner worthy of death. The audacity to tell God what he already knows. That's why Jesus died, because we're sinners. Accept my confession that I'm a sinner worthy of death. That's like you cheat on your spouse and you go to them and you say, accept my confession that I'm a cheater. You've stated the obvious. I give my life to you. Lordship. Thank you for Jesus's death and life to save me. Okay, thank you, but do you believe on his death, burial, and resurrection? Help me to do your will. This is all works-based stuff. And I think it's ironic that this is how all these five balloon strings are tied together in this really poorly written prayer. That doesn't save you. He said it so clearly when he talked in step number two. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. If you believe on everything that Jesus has said about himself and what he did for your sin, you say that is true. I believe that for me. You're saved. But then he goes and does this. I don't get it.
Amen. If you just prayed that prayer, congratulations. Your sins have been forgiven and you have been brought into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so you know I disagree with that, but I think we've talked enough about this. But you need to watch out for stuff like this. There's a certain editing pattern. There's a certain type of pull with the music, and this guy's very well put together. He doesn't have any, you know, like what I just did. He's well put together, but at the end of the day, they're still people are going to feel good for a couple of weeks, and they're going to write him again. I've believed, but I don't know that I'm saved. Look, all you have to do to know that you have eternal life is believe on Jesus Christ, that what he did for you was the full payment for your sin, and you're saved. And you don't have to worry about losing your salvation because it's eternal life. You need to know this stuff so that you can avoid it. And when you see other people in it, be patient with them. Please be patient. Lovingly guide them to the truth. If this was a helpful video for you, leave a comment, share it. As far as you can, like it, comment on it. I think all that is very good. Write to us. You have other videos like this? I'd love to react to them. Questions at BibleLineMinistries.org. Until next time, keep looking up. Jesus Christ is coming soon. If you enjoyed today's episode of Bible Line, make sure to subscribe to the channel and share this video with a friend. Do you have a Bible question? Send us an email, questions@BibleLineMinistries.org, and we'll do our best to get you an answer. Or you can leave your question in the comments of this video. Be sure to check the links in the description for more clear Bible teaching. Bible Line is a ministry of Calvary Community Church located in Tampa, Florida.